This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
I'm going to create a list called, so what are we, we're doing actor and supporting actor,
best lead,
right?
Yeah, best lead actor, I guess is where we would
best lead actor and best supporting.
We have one. We have them already.
We do?
Yeah. Oh, they're kind of in the middle-ish of the list. They're before biggest surprise, before all the other weird categories.
So are we going to do both of these simultaneously? As we probably should, right?
Yeah, it's probably a good idea.
Okay. Here's a controversial opinion. Did anyone stand out in Justified
yes.
City Primeval?
Just the guy who played Sweetie.
God, he was incredible, wasn't he?
Yeah, I thought he was so good. His name's Vondi Curtis Hall.
Yeah. What else have we seen? Have I seen him in?
He's in. He's the not economically viable man from Falling Down. I don't know.
Oh, right. He was the reporter guy in the Daredevil Netflix series. The editor, right?
Oh, that. Yeah, that
yeah. He
super
worked
familiar.
With the hot redhead. Uh-huh. I forget her name.
And Deborah Ann Woll.
Yes. What the hell have you been doing, Deborah Ann Woll? What have you
already
been
sidetracked?
Doing?
I'm gonna throw Vondi Curtis Hall under a supporting actor, right?
So she's so pretty, though, Jim. She's.
I don't dispute it, but.
From on film, she was in Since Daredevil. She was in a bunch of stuff I've never heard of. Meet Me in Montenegro. Okay, I can't. Well, I can't get distracted every time I want to see what. Oh, she's in a new Daredevil. They're bringing her back.
Oh, of course she's gonna be. You bring back.
She's in a remake of Quantum Leap. Interesting.
I never saw any of that. I should go watch some of that. Why not?
Yeah, for old times' sake.
I should watch a couple episodes of old Quantum Leap. That's a fun show when it's not really problematic.
She's 5'10". She's tall too. Did you know that? She's tall.
I didn't know that.
All right, so we're going to put let's go on the beef. Oh my God, yeah. Beef.
No, oh, you're Lord. Still thinking of the bear. This is beef with Stephen Yeun and Ali Wong.
So I didn't see this.
Man, they're both really good. I don't think they'll win it.
What the fuck is this movie about or this show about?
This is about two angry second generation immigrants getting into an altercation and just unleashing their anger on each other.
That's really the inciting event, or is it build up to it?
No, there's an inciting event that is just like an altercation in a parking lot with like she cuts him off and gives him the finger, and he's had enough that day because like he got fired or something or had a bad day on the job. I don't know. And then they just proceed over the next 8 episodes to harangue each other and try to ruin each other's lives, and it gets pretty poignant at the end, but in like a really sad, gross, depressing way. Not in like, oh, we've learned something, more in like,
okay,
oh yeah, no, the audience has learned that you just are in a bad situation because society sucks for you.
So what's your thoughts on best lead and supporting actors?
I mean, they're both leads.
Obviously, you got,
and they're really
Stephen Yeun and
Ali Wong.
Is it? Yeah, the Cobra lady.
Cobra.
She was
lady?
In a stand-up special. That first time I saw her, she's in a stand-up special. I think called Cobra.
Huh. Okay.
Or or God, I hope so. Ali.
She's in a lot of
Cobra.
She's yes. Very popular.
Baby Cobra. Baby Cobra.
Baby Cobra.
Yeah, she's been a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
So we're gonna put that in. We're gonna nominate both of those.
Yeah, I'd say throw them in. I don't think they'll win, but they do some really good work.
Are they going to do more seasons? Because it says season one. Like, that doesn't sound like something that could be more than... Okay. Good.
I mean, if they do, it'd have to be an anthology. Not like they both die at the end or anything, but the story is just... It's over.
So let me ask you this, because this seems like... Well, maybe not. I was going to say, like, how do you... So you already got two people from the same show. Who... If you had to nominate one, who would you do?
I think the story is more about Steven Yeun, so he gets more interesting work toward the end.
The man.
Yeah, I would go with the man, obviously.
The Bear season. I mean, this is the one thing we've only done this 2 years, the whole actor, lead supporting actor. It's, yeah, we're monitoring this whole situation. The Bear.
Oh, yeah. The Bear. My God. Oh, my. Jeremy Allen White.
What a murderer's row that we got here.
The fucking... Richie, I can't remember his name because it's crazy.
So would you say that Ayo Edebiri, Eben Moss Bacharach, are they the main characters, or is it just Jeremy Allen? Because I think those three are co-leads.
Oh, Eben Moss Bacharach is the only one I might not say is lead, but...
See, that's what I said. Last year, I wouldn't think that's the case. This year, he had, like, as, you know, there's as many Richie-centric episodes as there were Carmi-centric episodes.
Yeah, yeah, and the way they interact feels very much like co-leads. But Ayo Edebiri and Jeremy Allen White for sure. Let's look at this. What are the Emmys? Because I know the Emmys are considering him.
That's a good way to look at it, yeah.
All Emmy nominees and winners.
Ayo Edebiri. Who is blowing the fuck up right now? All
the Bear,
these people are.
The Bear won for Outstanding Comedy Series. Yeah, I could see why.
I don't know why it's comedy, to be honest. But...
yeah, right. So Outstanding Lead was for Jeremy Allen White.
Yeah, they probably wouldn't nominate multiple people.
Oh, fuck. The Bear, like, clean sweeped the Emmys, man. Jeremy Allen White won. Eben Moss Bacharach won for supporting. The Bear won for a comedy series. I don't know what else it was up for, but...
Eben Burt Bacharach.
Yeah. Henry Winkler was nominated for Barry.
Did AO get... was she nominated into supporting, or...?
Let me see... She is nominated as supporting, and she won as well. Good Lord.
Wow. I would definitely consider her a lead.
Me too. Yeah, fuck the Emmys.
They're saying
on that.
Everyone just supports?
They're only considering Jeremy Allen White the lead.
Yeah. Okay, well then I guess I'm going to throw Eben Moss Bacharach in the supporting.
Yeah. Just this one more year, we'll see. God, I feel bad about that, but also, let me tell you, he's got a better shot of winning something if he's in supporting right now.
Well, you're right. So, got Lionel Boyce as Marcus, got Lisa Colon Zayas as Tina, Abby Elliott as Sugar, Maddie Mathias as Neil Fack. He's great. Oliver Platt. I don't know, for supporting John Bernthal. Man, John Bernthal's so fucking good, but
oh yeah,
he only is there for one episode each season.
He's like a guest. He's not even a supporting actor.
I forgot Joel McHale is in there in season one too. Jamie Lee Curtis. Oh my, we need a guest mom. Star thing.
Honestly, with shows like this, yeah, you do, but.
I forgot that Jillian Jacobs is in this fucking movie. Robert Townsend. Damn. What a fucking cast. Maybe we should stop there then. Because like I think it gets harder and harder to... Although almost every one of the quote-unquote main cast had a spotlight episode. Like there was one that was all about Tina. What about the guy who's the dishwasher? Or Ibrahim? Yeah, he's considered a recurring, even though he had, yeah.
He didn't have like a spotlight episode. He had a couple of big scenes where he's trying to decide his future.
And it was kind of his more of his story was told through the eyes of Tina.
Yeah,
so I guess that
totally
makes sense. But it gets blurry. It gets blurry, these lines.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anything that you want to nominate for Mrs. Davis? I say no.
I think the only person I would consider is the dude from Silicon Valley, but nah.
Silo series.
Silo season one. Does Rebecca Ferguson make it to this list?
So yeah, you got Rebecca Ferguson. Rashida Jones is only in it for like one episode. David Aiello, good, very good. Tim Robbins.
Who is David Aiello? Why did I not?
He was the sheriff.
Oh, the first guy who went out.
Yeah. But he wasn't in it a lot. Wait, who's the other one then? Harriet Walter. No.
Oh, right. I forgot Ian Glenn is in that.
We'll be right back with more Bald Move after this brief pause.
This episode is brought to you by Funnables. Funnables aren't just fruit snacks. Every bite your child takes is fuel to spark their imagination, taking them from a wild unicorn space mission to a deep sea dive into a rainbow river. Funnables are made with 7.1% real fruit puree and are an excellent source of vitamins A, C, and E. So anytime, any place, make snack time playtime with Funnables Fruit Snacks. Have fun, eat it too. Visit FunnablesSnacks.com to shop now.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And now, back with more Bald Move.
Will Patton. He's like the deputy Marnes. Always like a good Will Patton appearance.
Will Patton's good.
Yeah.
Okay. I was getting David Aiello and Chinaza Uche. Who is the guy? Yeah, he's the former judicial guy who gets assigned as the chief deputy.
The new one.
It's kind of like the mole, mm-hmm. supposed mole. He's real good too. I don't know if anyone stands out. Because Rebecca Ferguson, like, I mostly think of her. This could very well be good acting, but she's just so buttoned down. She's not giving anyone anything.
Yeah, I agree. There's not enough range in that performance to impress me, aside from just the one note, which she pulls off very well.
Mm-hmm.
I would almost say like Will Patton has a bigger stretch. I mean, he definitely has a bigger stretch in that. He's asked to do some really sad stuff from time to time.
It can't be more than a lead or a recurring or a supporting. No. He's only in it for like 2.5 episodes, right?
That's the thing. I don't think he needs to be on the list.
So I think no one needs to be on this list.
Yeah, I'm with you.
But I wasn't super high on Silo as a lot of people were. I was kind of like, it's entertaining, but I thought like every other episode challenged me in terms of me wanting to just give this shit up. Okay. Huh. Star Trek Strange New Worlds.
All right. I got to do a little refresher. I mean, I know the major players. I just got to remember what all happened for specific scenes.
Yeah, I like talking. Like, it's like this is a nice way to like shout out, you know, people.
Yeah, if we don't do it in the nominations, we'll at least do it here.
And am I not taking these people as seriously as I should? Because like I think Anson Mount's good and he's very charming and he's very winsome, but I wouldn't say he's blowing the doors off in terms of acting. Ethan Peck as Spock, like there again, he's doing some interesting comedic stuff. Jesse Bush, I don't even know if I like Jesse Bush. It's like Marina Sirtis. Was Marina Sirtis a good actor? I actually like Christina Chong, but I don't know as a Lon Noonien. But I really like Lon as a character. And
yeah. What? Okay, so Rebecca Romijn had her big scene in this season.
What was
right?
her big scene?
It's the one where they're trying to determine whether or not she should go to prison for her natural born life or whatever, because she's a mutant. Or not a mutant, but genetically modified.
Oh my god, this guy's name. Dabbs Olusanmokun.
Oh fuck.
Is Dr. Mbinga. He's amazing, and he had a couple of real good spotlight episodes. The I forget what the war torn, you know, Siege of 513 episode. What was that? That was like
Where they're trying to kill the Klingon leader.
Yeah, I quite like that a lot.
Yeah.
But it's one episode, but I guess that's how the Emmys work.
Yeah. I mean, I could see, you know, just a single moment or performance giving you at least a nomination.
Cause I'm thinking the ones I wouldn't do Anson Mount. I wouldn't do Ethan Peck. Yeah. I wouldn't do Jess Bush, but Christina Chong interesting.
I like the work she was doing around, you know, her conflicted, heritage, I guess, being a Noonien Singh and like not thinking anybody can love her, and then this James Kirk experience she has in the past. I did like all that, but I'm not sure the performance itself was the thing that I really loved about it, even though it's very good.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Paul Wesley as James T. Kirk. I shat on this man a lot in season one, thinking he's not a great James T. Kirk. And then he was in he's in Stars in the Vampire Diaries, which is already a meme. But I actually thought he did a really good job of embodying a 2024 version of James T. Kirk. Like, I didn't expect him to have that kind of charisma and chemistry and, you know, kind of like Kirkness. But I don't know if that's like, I don't know if that gets you a baldy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do know what you mean. It's a well
it's
done
a neat magic trick.
Yeah, it's a well done impression. I don't know that
like
a well
Ewan
done
McGregor
impression is
busting off his Alec Guinness in the Obi-Wan series. It's really neat. It's really fun to watch. But is he good in that show? I don't know.
Right.
Starting to think maybe this isn't the type of show that gets the acting awards.
Although I mean, in Benga,
he comes the closest, but when I think of these performances against anything in The Bear, for example.
I mean, The Bear is an unfair comparison for all TV.
True.
But yeah.
All right.
I know what you mean.
I mean, make your case if you want to. But
yeah,
I
would like to put him on. He's
the closest
supporting
one. Okay. All right. All right. All right. All right. All right.
Yeah.
All right. All right. You pronounce his name, though.
Okay, I'll read his name when it comes to it.
Okay. Best supporting actor. It's Justin Binga. Star Trek Strange New Worlds. Okay. Next show. We are on Mandalorian Season 3. Oh man, who can forget Pedro Pascal?
Who could forget the avatar known as Pedro
the
Pascal?
Voice. Known as we've got Katie Sackhoff, we've got
Weathers. Unless you want to make a strong case, nothing from Mandalorian is gonna make it, but make your case if you feel otherwise.
Giancarlo Esposito, I mean, no one's even doing their best work here. We already got Ahmed Best shouted out as a badass possibility. Yeah, I think we're good. Because also we have Andor. We have Andor. We can actually give a Star Wars show some good fucking act. Do we?
Oh, that's last
year. Andor.
That's last year.
And also we didn't really talk about it. Fuck. Okay, well, we did. We blew it last year, surely. We gave
it a full
blow treatment. Okay, Kaleidoscope. Nope, next one. The Last of Us. All right. The Last of Us. Now we're fucking talking.
The Last of Us, that had some good performances. Pedro Pascal. Throw him on there. Let's throw on.
I got to find the best actors again because I can't find. Okay, so we got Pedro Pascal.
Like halfway down there.
Pedro Pascal, Tilu. We've got
Bella Ramsey.
Yeah. Tilu.
You've got Anna Torv.
Ooh. Where do we go from the top tippy top when we're talking something? Both of those are stars, right? Those are the co-leads.
Pedro and Bella, yeah.
Yeah. So we've got
I think everybody else is.
Did
sport.
You say Anna Torv?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, might as well throw her in there. It's too bad she was only in it for the first episode, two episodes.
Yeah. I did really love her though.
What do you think about Nick Offerman?
I mean, come on, obviously.
You got to, right?
Obviously. And the dude he played across from that episode, I can't.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, of the two, I definitely think Nick Offerman has a better shot at winning, but if you don't want to put him on there, that's fine too. Frank?
Yeah, I guess so.
What is his name?
My question is like head to head, Nick Offerman and Murray Bartlett are going for best supporting actor. Who do you give it to?
Nick Offerman.
Yeah.
He had the harder work
to talk about Murray Bartlett.
I mean, let's just maybe shout him out here and not put him on the list.
I'm gonna parenthetically put Murray Bartlett. Because we'll absolutely forget this gentleman's name.
Oh yeah.
If Nick didn't have Murray to bounce off of, it wouldn't be nearly as good a performance. So I think shouting that out is appropriate. What do you think about Melanie Lynskey? I think she misses the cut for me.
Yeah, me too. Unfortunately, I like her. I just never quite settled into her in this role.
Yeah, and I really like Rutina Wesley. Because she was awesome in True Blood, obviously, and I'd love to find a way to get her on there. But like one episode, she's Tommy's pregnant wife, and
and
Jackson,
Wyoming. Yeah.
What else we got? I think that's going to do it.
Scott Shepard is the horrible monster. Yeah,
but I don't know that I'd give him a...
great, but also, yeah, I don't think he's going to win.
Yeah. Yeah, but good on you. Good on you being in the show. Good on you. Okay, let's move on to Yellow Jackets Season 2. This is interesting. Yellow Jackets Season 2. Also, when is Yellow Jackets Season 3 coming back? Goddamn.
I don't know. I'm sure the season
3
strike messed them up.
Yeah.
2025 is what I'm
saying. No announced release date. Oh, okay. So probably not this year even.
Yeah.
Okay. Yellow Jackets Season 2.
I mean, you know, Christina Ricci is kind of evergreen on this list for her quirky performance in there.
Well, so, okay, let's try to put it into categories. We got Melanie Lynskey. We got Tawny Cypress.
Mm-hmm. This is weird because it's like a show of leads, right? Yeah. You got like 12 leads.
Christina Ricci, Juliette Lewis. Those are the big four, right?
Of the adult timeline.
I guess Lottie was in, but do you think Lottie is super good?
No, I'm not a huge fan of that performance.
I'm not either. Like, but also it's a very weird character that I just kind of don't like.
Yep.
So it's hard to say whether that's.
And then you got all the kids who are also excellent: Sophie Thatcher and Liv Hewson.
So do we have like, that's what I'm saying? But like of the Melanie Lynskey, Tawny Cypress, Christina Ricci, Juliette Lewis. Because Melanie Lynskey is good, but she's doing Melanie Lynskey.
Yeah. Maybe I just don't like Melanie Lynskey as an actor as much.
I do, and I don't know, but I don't know that it's like, I don't know that it fully works for me. Whereas you can talk me into Christina Ricci, like what she's doing. It's something I've never really seen her do before, and she's fucking nailing it. And mm-hmm. Juliette Lewis is, yeah, she's just fucking great. I would put those two forward if it was me.
I'm with you. Main. Yeah, there's something about the Melanie Lynskey and Tawny Cypress performances that aren't doing it quite as well as those others. Because, yeah, Christina Ricci, just crushing.
Again, maybe I just don't like Tyza. She's such a weird,
yes,
antagonistic character.
That does not help.
Whereas Christina Ricci is also a terrible character, but she's very entertaining. Misty from what is this? Yellow Jackets. What about supporting actors?
I don't think there are any supporting actors in this show. Like Ben, Coach Ben is a supporting actor. Everybody's a lead in this.
What about the young women that are playing the teenage versions of these characters?
Yeah, I think we should nominate some of them.
Which ones though? I like the young Nat. That's
Sophie Thatcher. I think Samantha Hanratty, who plays young Misty, is also very good. Like just as good as Christina Ricci.
Really? Are you skeptical of saying that?
I mean, I'm a little surprised to say it, but yeah, I think so. I mean, they come in pairs. It's tough to separate them.
As much as I don't like the adult Tyza, I actually really like Jasmine Savoy Brown as the young.
She's a much more
kind of heroic character in the teenage years.
Yeah. Who's now?
Can we do? Yeah, I don't know if I agree with you about Samantha Hanratty.
No? Not a fan of Teen Misty?
No.
What about Teen Van? Really.
I forgot about Lauren Ambrose. She's actually really good, too.
Yeah, I forgot about her, too. It's a big season for her.
It's tough for me because like I actually think that Van is like one of my favorite of the teenage gals.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the adult band's probably my favorite of the first or second favorite of my adult women. So what do we want to do? What the hell are we going to do here, man? Do we want to put Lauren Ambrose as a best actor? Is she more of a support character? That's the other thing.
There's an argument to be made that Van is more of a supporting character.
I think so.
Because it's really Thaisa's story. And
that's what I'm saying. She gets caught up in it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I would say she's supporting. Let's throw her in there for supporting.
Ambrose.
It's really hard for me to separate the teens from the adults because they travel in packs here. Like, you can't have one without the other. Because they did such a great job casting.
They complement each other very well. I do like Sophie Thatcher as the young women. I think she's the mm-hmm. one doing the best work.
I agree. And if you don't like Teen Misty that much, I don't feel that strongly about not putting her on the list.
I'm trying to look. Is there anything else? Probably. Did I overlook anybody else? What about Jasmine Savoy Brown?
Oh, man. I'm trying to remember her storyline this season. Oh, what was her storyline?
It was kind of like caught between reason and faith, right?
I thought she,
you know, she was one
she eventually
of
the, went over though. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Faith. Most of the gals did. I think who's the only one that didn't,
Misty, like Misty gets chased down by the group.
Well, Misty definitely adapts it, but I was thinking more of, Melanie Linsky's character. What is her character?
Oh, Shauna.
Shauna. Yeah. Shauna's the one that kind of like stays as mostly off of that shit.
Oh, this was a fucked up season for Shauna. I forgot about that.
Yeah, the teen Shauna. Stillbirth.
Yeah. Quote-unquote, holy shit. I just want to put everybody on this list, but there's so many of them.
Yeah. All right. Well, are we ready to move on then?
Or Sophie do we want to? Can we put Teen Shauna on the list?
Sophie Nalise, or whatever, how you said, Nalise?
Yeah, however you say it. Nalise.
Yeah, I'm not huge fan, but I
no?
Yeah, if you see, that's that would be yeah main
lead,
you
call yeah. That main
lead, I should say,
and that's it. So you that can't put everybody on the list. My god,
yeah it's a big cast. Shauna yellow,
it's an honor shit, just to be considered.
Oh, for a Baldy, are you kidding me?
Right.
Okay, next on our list is Star Trek Picard season 3. There's no heroes here, right?
There's no performances. The what's worthy of an award here is how well they sucked me back in with nostalgia. The nostalgia play yeah. Wins the award, but that's it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Extrapolations, skip.
Nah.
Loki season 2. Should this be comedy? I guess we got to decide right now.
Yeah, we do. I don't think so. I think this is a drama with
I think so too.
A lot of funny moments and characters.
Like I don't truck with calling the bear a comedy. I think that's horseshit. So
yeah,
okay.
The bear is not comedy. There's nothing funny about the bear. Fact. Anyway, whatever.
Having said that,
yeah, remove.
What do we think about Tom Hiddleston?
Oops. Tom Hiddleston is very good,
and he's got to do a lot.
Yeah,
like he carries like more so than even season one, where he had a lot more kind of back and forth with the Lady Sophie and Owen Wilson. I guess that's Sophia Di Martino is the lady, Sylvie. He kind of carried, especially the back half of the season, did a lot of complicated, challenging work. I think he's a
pretty easy nom. Yeah. Nom nom. How about
does it
Sophie? Get,
does it go? Man, I don't know about this year. I don't know.
Or not Sophie, Sylvie, who's played by Sophia Di Martino.
I say no. She had a much flatter arc for me this year.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm looking down the list. I'm not seeing
Kehu Kwan.
I'm not seeing anything. Renslayer.
Kehu Kwan.
Oh, Obi. Hell yeah.
He's amazing. Amazing.
Yeah, that's a pretty good call. That's a support. Yeah.
Support.
Yeah.
Jonathan Majors, He Who Remains. No one liked that performance. I enjoyed it. I didn't think it was bad, but it's not worthy of Baldy.
What do you think about Owen Wilson?
Owen Wilson.
Misako.
Owen Wilson is just Owen Wilson. He's never going to win awards.
You can argue that about.
But he's entertaining endlessly.
Kwee Kwan, too.
He's used so sparsely that.
And he's also not exactly Short Round, and he's not exactly Data from,
Although I did watch a little bit of the Goonies the other night, and it's not too far off, but
yeah.
Maybe I'm biased, but
okay.
Owen Wilson doesn't
get there. I'm kind of fine with. I'm trying to think. If there's anybody else that was in here that's in season 2?
I don't think so. I mean, Wonmi. I've seen Wonmi be amazing, but not in this. She's good, but.
What do you think about Daryl Dixon?
I don't think anybody's going to win for my taste.
I think whoever the French gal is, maybe we could talk about.
Okay.
Wait, what the fuck is this? I'm on
I don't know her name.
Season 11, Walking Dead Daryl Dixon.
Clemence Posey.
Clemens Posey, yeah.
That would be one potential. And then Adam Negaitis.
Yeah. Negaitis.
Yeah, this isn't the show you go to win. To it's win really a claim not. For. And Norman Reedus is really fucking good too, but he's playing Daryl, who has almost no. I mean, this is the most range Daryl Dixon's got to show in a while, but it's still like half the range you need to win a Baldy.
Yep.
Okay, fine with that. Ahsoka.
I mean, it's a no for me, dog. I like even a Ray Stevenson.
What you want to give Hayden Christensen? Oh, Ray Stevenson, come on.
I mean, I could see him in a supporting actor role, but like he's definitely not my favorite supporting actor this year. I mean, he's
what do you
barely
think Hayden Christensen?
He's not in it that much. He's really good.
I think we got him for we can talk about him for badass. So,
yeah.
Can we? Hayden. Yeah, we got him. So we can at least talk about him. That's the one thing the fact that he did a pretty good job there.
Yeah.
Okay, Wes Anderson, the Roald Dahl short collection.
Oh, man. Oh, there were some really great performances in there.
The Swan one.
Uh-huh.
But the thing is like, is that a good performance? Because he's just staring and doing a monotone performance. Like
the one that stands out to me is the rat one, the rat catcher, with that dude.
Was that Willem Dafoe?
Ralph Fiennes.
Yeah. Ralph Fiennes the rat
Ralph
catcher.
Fiennes? I don't know how to say his fucking name. It's written Ralph. I'm saying Ralph. That's it. I don't care who knows.
You're not wrong.
Yeah, Ratman. I thought he was amazing as Ratman. But it might just be because...
Why can't I find an easy wiki article that has all these? Because they're like treating these like they're different.
They're separate. Different, they're shorts, yeah.
Yeah.
If you go to the IMDb, they're all there at the top of the list.
What do you think? So you had the Swan, the Ratcatcher, and Poison. Poison, I thought, both Ben Kingsley and... Cumberbatch did a good job as that, and like especially mm-hmm. it's like that's such a funny thing until the end when it's not.
Yeah,
and I can't believe how like nasty Benedict Cumberbatch is, and how like you know, I guess noble / saintly Ben Kingsley came off in that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's all obviously they're Wes Anderson, but they're all such peculiar performances.
Yeah, maybe we should go with the rat catcher. Let's see. Someone Like You. Someone Like You. Is that actually called Someone Like You?
No. It's called the Rat Catcher.
Or that was a part. That's a rat. Okay, it's a part of it. Goddamn, where do I find...
IMDb, baby. Go to Wes Anderson's page.
Just tell me what the actor you're now nominating.
Ralph Fiennes.
Would you say he's supporting or lead? He's supporting, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, man, he's almost a lead. Who else is in that? Oh, right, for sure. Ayoade.
Rafe Fiennes. How do you spell Fiennes? Is it with two N's?
Fiennes.
The Rat Catcher. From the Rat Catcher.
Yeah. Rat Man.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine.
Okay.
Moving on to One Piece. Is there anyone that I want to talk about on One Piece? Not really. Winning Time. God damn it. Wait, did we classify this as a disappointment?
Oh, I don't think so. Disappointing because it got cut short, right? In the last episode.
Yeah, how did that not make it?
I don't know.
Yeah, Winning Time Season 2. Winning Time Season 2. All right. Yeah, that's a good one. Man. This was a fucking good show. So the people I thought were really good, John C. Reilly's amazing as Jerry Buss. Quincy Isaiah is amazing as Magic Johnson. Jason Clark is so fucking entertaining as Jerry West. Adrian Brody is an amazing Pat Riley, and he really came in his own this season. Like, I just can't find anyone that's bad. Solomon Hughes is just an amazing Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. And then, whoa, wait, where's fucking Bird? Oh, my God. This Sean Patrick Smalls, Larry Bird, is incredible.
All right.
I'm so pissed that we don't get to see five seasons of him doing that shit. Man.
Is he a lead or supporting?
He'd definitely be a supporting. Because he's not, I don't think he's in even every episode. But yeah. I definitely want to call that out. That's such a good performance. Sean Patrick Small, yeah, as Larry Bird. I've never seen that guy in anything either. He doesn't have a Wikipedia article. Winning time. I'm gonna go Adrian Brody as Pat Riley, honestly.
Leave it
at that. So, winning time. Season two. Okay, next show.
Foundation. Season two. I think there are some noms here. The guy who plays Bel Rios.
Yeah, he's real fucking good.
He's incredible.
Really elevated that shit. Bel.
Is Demerzel just going to end up on the list every
time?
That's
Ben Daniels. Yeah, I mean, she really has to be, because she just keeps on also upping the game, man. That's the juiciest fucking part.
Yeah, they just keep giving her amazing scenes. That scene where she describes, you know, the hell of her life to Day. To Dawn. Dawn?
I guess it
and
would be
Dusk. Both.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, incredible.
Emperor Cleon to start with. Foundation season two. Okay, does Jerry Harry deserve one? I say no.
I think I say no too. I feel bad about it, but he was not the thing that impressed me most in this season, for sure.
Yeah, great character, does good work. Mm-hmm. But he's like doing like three different performances. It's weird.
Yeah.
What about Lee Pace?
It's
just not as good as last year because he's playing a dumb asshole.
Yeah,
he's playing a dumb asshole version of his character, and it sucks because he's also doing, like, you know, he did these big fight sequences and stuff. He's just a dumb asshole.
Yep. There's nothing like walking the spiral for him this year.
Yeah.
God, did he win? Did he win for that? Because no, good lord,
anybody.
He came in ninth.
Okay,
oh,
what do we make?
In the year. Came in third for best actor that year. How about Dusk though?
I still don't think so.
I mean, because the guy who plays Dusk is also playing the original Cleon, and there are a couple of scenes between him and Demerzel. I mean, the one where he entraps her.
Yeah, I still don't think it gets there for me, though.
Yeah?
Like, and he's getting blown the fuck out off the scene by Laura Byrne. What do you think about Isabella Laughlin as Brother Constant?
Oh, she's good.
Or Demetria Leonidas as Hober Mallow.
Man, Hober is so fun to watch.
It's very cool.
And I love kind the of ending with Belle. And this is the only time we're going to get to recognize him if we want to.
You don't, yeah. Really? You don't think he's you don't think he's coming back?
I don't think so. Him and Belle died a pretty permanent death.
So we got Ben Daniels.
Yeah, can we put him on for supporting actor? I think Hober Mallow makes it for me. It's a thing I could see coming off really cheesy, and part of the reason it didn't is just a great performance.
Okay, we're really fleshing out our supporting characters with Foundation. You say no to Isabella Laughlin as Brother Constant, though?
She's almost she's a lead this season, yeah?
Yeah, I think we'd be going for a lead for her. Yeah. I think she's good. She's actually really good.
She's actually really good, yeah. Let's throw her on the list. I like her enough.
What about the other leads, like Lou LaBelle and Leah Harvey?
Man, Gale this season. Gale frustrated me this season.
And the thing is, Leah Harvey, I think... I don't know if she improved or her character just developed, but I liked her a lot more this season than last season.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
Still don't know if I'm putting it on the list, though. Because like I said, Ben Daniels, the Bel Rio shit, that shit really connected. Laura Byrne is like easy. She should be a lead, right? Laura Byrne. Yeah. I got her in supporting. She should be a lead.
At this point, with that storyline, yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think she's considered that too. All right. I think that might be it then.
Yep, I think so.
Okay. We are looking at Black Mirror. Black Mirror season 6.
I don't even remember.
Like, I remember the was there a werewolf one this year?
Werewolf?
Yeah, I think so. Joan is awful. Okay. Locke Henry, that's the one I was thinking about. Locke Henry.
Aaron Paul was in one. I forgot what happened this season.
Yeah, with the
robot space one.
Mm-hmm. So Joan is awful. Had Salma Hayek in it, right? Locke Henry. Who stars Locke Henry? Is that who I was thinking of? So Beyond the Sea is the Aaron Paul, Josh Hartnett, and Kate Mara. However, yeah, I mean, yeah, they were all that is good. Hey, interesting story.
Aaron Paul did an excellent job in that episode.
Maisie Day, I think it's how you put it. I'd like that. Yeah, this is the werewolf one. That was interesting. I like Zazie Beetz. Yeah, I don't know if anybody made it here for me, man.
Oh my god, I don't think I've seen Paul, the last two episodes of this season.
I don't think you did either. Because I remember that we it was kind of an OTC that we didn't get back to. But I did, you could maybe argue for Aaron Paul and Josh Hartnett, but to me, I don't know. There's just didn't quite get there for me. Got so many names on the list.
Okay.
All right. What about For All Mankind?
Oh, boy.
I will say that Good Danny made me cry real hard this year.
That's what I was Chris wondering Marshall. About. Mm-hmm. Danielle Poole.
I think she was pretty amazing.
Was very good. I know that's not her real name, but I can't think of her real name.
Chris Marshall.
Yes.
For All Mankind. Okay, I actually think we also got to give it up for... God, I want to say Margot Kidder. It's Rin Schmidt. Rin Schmidt... I always forget as an attractive young person. I guess she's actually not even that much younger than me. She's 40.
Yeah, but she ain't 70.
She's like, And she looks, she honestly, I think Rinschmidt could pull off like in her mid 20s. She's got, like, I don't know for how long she's about to do it, but she's got that that dewy, youthy look to her. And she convincingly plays a 65-year-old woman with none of her joints working.
Yeah.
Best makeup, old woman makeup, rock solid characterization. This feels like a character that I've seen age for 35, 40 years. I think we need to, yeah, I think she deserves it.
Yeah, no, I'm with you.
Rinschmidt as Margot Matt, yeah, Margot from For All Mankind. Anybody else? I say no to Joel Kinnaman.
Yeah.
I say nobody.
He's good, but he's not super likable this season.
Yeah. What about Kelly? What about Aleda?
That's what I was trying Coral to look Pinya. Up here. What was her storyline this season? She's without her Margot.
I think she did a good job of playing that scene where she goes the she finds out that Margot's not dead, and she talks about how, you know,
yeah,
I can still smell the burning plastic, and that's I think she did a really good job with her scene with Bill.
Yeah, she's great. I've always liked her. I would love to put her up for supporting, or is she a lead this season?
I would say supporting still.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So that is Coral Pinya.
Coral.
As a lady.
What a name, Coral.
I probably not how you pronounce it either.
Coral, I don't know.
For All Mankind, S4. Okay, Dev Ayesa, what are you, Edie Gaffa?
He has some good scenes. I like him. That scene where has to come to terms with his mother before he leaves for Mars, I think is great.
Daniel Stern's photo on Wikipedia is amazing.
Whose?
Daniel Stern.
Oh, I bet. He's a very uniquely photogenic guy.
We don't like Miles, right? That might be it for me, man.
Oh, yeah.
That might be it for me. What's she been doing?
We'll be right back with more Bald Move after this brief pause.
With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy-on, easy-off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
This episode is brought to you by Bai. It's Wonderwater. What makes Bai so great? It's simple. From Raspberry Lemon Lime by Sydney Sweeney to Zambia Bing Cherry and Palavo Pineapple Mango, Bai has antioxidants, electrolytes, and no artificial sweeteners. So for flavorful hydration, choose Bai. It's Wonderwater. Learn more about Bai and discover all of the exotic, bold flavors at drinkbai.com.
We try to make it super easy to support making podcasts at Bald Move. Just join the club.
But some people aren't the joining type, or maybe they're already in the club but want to add a little bit of gratuity for an especially great season of coverage, or for podcasts that really spoke to them, or gave them that bit of support in a tough time.
For these, and for whatever other reason you might have, our tip jar is always open. Head over to support.baldmove.com and click the donate option to say, hey, keep doing what you're doing. We appreciate it.
Once again, check out support.baldmove.com for all the great ways to help me and Jim keep making the podcast you love.
And now, back with more Bald Move.
Huh. Apparently, Aleda was in The Post. You know that Washington Post movie with Meryl Streep and Tom Hanks?
Yeah, I saw that one.
I don't know.
We saw that in theaters, right?
I know. I wonder what she was in there.
She hasn't done a huge... That was a while ago.
She hasn't done a huge amount of stuff.
I hope she does more.
She's a narrator of the American version of Antiques Roadshow since 2020.
Okay.
What a weird thing.
Why not?
All right. What about Fargo season 5? Oh my God.
Juno Temple. Yeah.
She was Dot in Fargo season 5. Incredible.
Yeah.
Who else?
John
Hamm. Does John Hamm get one for supporting?
I think it's a good performance. I don't like the character, that's for sure. It's not that great of a performance. Let's not kid ourselves. It's no David Thewlis.
Yeah.
Thewlis.
What about Jennifer Jason Leigh?
I'll be honest, I don't like the performance there. Look, she's developed a character. It's just not a character I think is particularly good.
What do we think of David Rysdahl, which is Wayne?
Oh, see, there's a character that I think is better.
He did a really integrated performance. I really like how he played him as mentally challenged in the mid parts of the season too.
Yeah,
but still like recognizably Wayne.
Mm-hmm.
Should we?
Yeah, as a supporting, sure. I'd throw him on there.
Before we do, what, Joe Keery? I'm a no. That's a no for me, dog.
Yeah.
But what do we think about Lamorne Morris's Whit Farr? And what do we think of Risha Morjani as Indira? What do we think of Sam Spruill as Old Munch?
Now we're talking. Yeah, I could see him in there as a
support. So why him and not Jennifer Jason Leigh? Does he like the character better?
Because
they're
think
both
so.
Like weirdo.
Yeah,
like gonzo performances.
I think it is. Maybe I'm biased by, you know, disliking the character more than the actor, but
yeah, and he just like that last scene doesn't work if he doesn't carry it, and I think it's a very sublime thing to carry. So
yeah,
okay, I'll throw him on for supporting. Sam Spruill. What about Dave Foley as Danish Graves?
Eh.
And you're saying no to John Hamm, yeah?
Yeah. Just my feelings. Okay. I mean, if you have other feelings, let me know.
No, that's fine. And we said no to David Rysdale's Wayne, or yes?
I think yes for Wayne as a support character. I don't know. Maybe I just don't like bad guys. Maybe I just don't like bad guys.
Why him and not Lamorne Morris?
Who plays Whit Farr?
That's Whit Farr, yeah.
It's not... I mean, Whit Farr is just a dude. He's a brave dude, but he's just a dude. There's not much of a real performance there. I don't know. Maybe there is. Maybe
yeah.
Lamorne Morris is nothing like that character in real life. But I don't know. It didn't seem a very taxing performance.
Okay. Wayne Lyon. Fargo S5. And we said, okay, I think we got everybody else sorted through there. All right, let's move on to Reacher Season 2. No. In fact, I might put that on the biggest disappointment.
Oh,
God, we got a bunch of biggest disappointments though, because yeah, they need to do better. It's okay if they want this show to be just okay, but I thought this show could be like the next Banshee, and it's kind of fumbling the ball on that one for me.
All right.
What did I say that I was
You're gonna move Reacher to Disappointment.
Oh, I already have it on there. Cool.
Okay.
Good.
Let's move to comedies then. That's all the dramas we've got. Yep. What We Do in the Shadows, perennial favorite. A lot of people nommed from this, I think. Laszlo's always up there, man. Matt Berry's doing his thing. I know it's not a stretch for him.
Here's the thing. I know he was funny in this season, but you put a gun to my head and tell me a moment he was funny. Right now, this season.
I don't remember anything about this season. I got to look it up.
So, like, why are we nominating any of this shit? We didn't. Like, if we're struggling, like, we didn't have this struggle with any of the other shows we're talking
about. Well, it's because I watched this in OTC. I didn't talk about it for 20 hours. I got to look at the plots here. See what I think. Vampires discover the mall. Night out with the guys. Nandor and Laszlo go out with Sean and his friends. That Pride Parade episode was so good. That was so good.
Yeah, that was really funny.
Yeah.
He was really funny in that too, particularly.
Yeah, he's great. Oh my god. Naked Nandor. I forgot all about that. He got Laszlo dressed up as the Red Cowboy.
I thought a lot. The roast. The roast is really fucking that's a good Matthew Berry where he was just what was he saying to everybody who came up to him? Thank you.
Where he's
not right now or
just distracted. Yeah.
Thank you, not right now. And just everything he's doing. I don't remember where that went to. I remember it's just stupid. He was just thinking about some inane thing for 2 weeks.
Yeah, which was probably sex related. Like,
yeah. But it also took him off the map because he didn't do anything funny other than just thank you, not today, or
yes, yes, thank you, or whatever he said.
Yeah.
I don't know. Look, we don't have to put Matt Berry on the list every year.
Yeah, I'm kind of done. I gotta say, I've kind of turned the corner on this. This is a good season, but like, I don't know. I'm glad this is the last season coming up. Yeah,
yeah.
Cause also we got Rez Dogs to worry about.
Sure do.
I mean, my God, you had some crazy ass shit happen this year.
Yeah, let me refresh my memory on this. These OTC things just kind of run off me like water, but oh yeah, Dear Lady is a big part of that one episode, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's called Dear Lady.
House made of bongs. I really like the episode where all the old guys try to get through to Cheese because they're worried about him.
Frankfurter sandwich, yeah. Cheese
was that Frankfurter
camping
sandwich? Yeah, I really like that. All those old, but I like it mostly for the old guys.
I mean, I thought House Made of Bongs. I mean, Brownie and what's his name, the Maximus, right?
Yeah, the flashback episode is super good, but those are all this like one shot, you know.
There's a lot of one shots in this like season. Like, that Dear Lady is a one shot.
That's what I was trying to go like of the kids who was crushing it this year. I thought Alora did great work.
Yep.
I guess that's Devery Jacobs. I really like Cheese too. Willie Jack's still my favorite. Paulina Alexis. I wonder if they'll. I feel like Devery Jacobs is going to do shit. I don't know if any of the others are going to go on to superstardom. I would like the Paulina Alexis to do it, but I don't know. What did she do besides Willie Jack? I need to see her do her post Willie Jack turn.
Yeah. It's tough with the young actors because I know they have a lot of room to grow. And like their performances are good, but like good for a young actor.
Yeah.
Which might not be fair, but that's how I feel.
I'm trying to find who is, because like I said, a lot of the old guys, like Wes Diddy was good in that camping episode, the Frankfurter sandwich episode. Lily Gladstone did another good episode of Willie Jack's aunt in prison. Graham Greene was amazing.
Yeah, it's such an ensemble cast too. It's hard to like, and I know they all get their own episodes, but that's the thing. They all get their episodes to shine.
Yeah, I really like the Ethan Hawke episode. I thought Devery Jacobs really impressed me in that one.
Yes. Yeah, that was a fantastic episode.
Okay, so I'm going to throw Devery Jackson. Jacob Devery Jacobs as a Laura from Res Dogs. Any other kids?
Bear doesn't quite get there for me. I don't know. Something about that performance just doesn't totally connect with me.
And this wasn't the season where Cheese got put into a foster home, right? That was last season.
I think.
Correct?
So, yeah. I could be wrong. I don't remember the early parts of the season super well.
Okay, who else? Do we want to put Zach McLaren?
Big.
Because like he came in clutch that camping episode too. He's like got the highest like funny to dramatic of this show, I think.
Oh man, he's so good. Yeah, I think we should throw him on there for supporting.
Okay. Any others?
God, that final episode, I just want to nominate everyone for. It's amazing.
I know. That's what sucks about this fucking these categories is like you get these shows that like you could make an argument for 8 people.
Yeah.
But like because of that, no one individually stands out.
Mm-hmm.
I just remember just really, I miss Res Dog. Res Dog's something that like made me like really took me on a tour of human emotions.
Yeah,
beats you up, builds you up, bleak but also optimistic and hopeful.
Right, that final episode being around the death of the medicine man and how like positive that was, just like the coming together of everyone in such a beautiful way. And everyone chips in on that episode and makes it what it is, but I don't know how to single anybody out in there. I love Brownie. Brownie might be my favorite character in that entire show. Because he's this big doofus, but he's also got something behind it every once in a while, you know?
And that's what was so cool about that Housemaid of Bongs episode is that like seeing all those old fuckers back in high school and kind of like the way that the patterns repeated is just really entertaining.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, well, we got to move on. Everybody's a winner on Res Dogs.
Ooh, Barry. What do we do with Barry? Barry season 4 was a weird season of television. It was a great ending for Barry. I just felt like they should have wrapped this up the last season.
Yep, I'm with you.
Do you want to throw Steven Root as, what was his name? What was his prison name?
I can't remember his prison name.
The Eagle or...
Yeah. God. Steven Root is amazing.
Yeah. That's the thing. I'll it's like you have to take his character seriously in that. Let's see. I'm trying to think.
Yeah, he's so ridiculous, but he's also not to be trifled with.
And it's interesting how they kind of toyed with, like, Barry almost got away with everything. Barry almost is able to accidentally frame Steven Root Fuchs.
Uh-huh.
For everything.
Yeah, I mean, him and Bill Hader, it's hard not to nominate both of them.
I tell you, the one that I think probably should get it is, God, what is that? Henry Winkler. I think Henry Winkler did consistently good work and some of the best stuff in the last one. And I really like that turn where it's like he almost turned into like a totally heroic protagonist, but then...
And then he wanted the money.
Money and fame start, and he couldn't fucking help himself. And like the way that character kind of turned, but I think that's pretty... I think he did good work.
Yeah, for sure. He's a supporting actor in this, so...
Yeah.
Throw him up there.
Throwing up Henry Winkler from as Gene
Jesus.
Cosano.
Sally. Sarah Goldberg.
God, she's... I mean, I guess ultimately she's a pitiable character, but...
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I really loved the performance she put in after the time jump when they have the kid.
Mm-hmm. Like that's where she almost earns it. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not always sold on her performances. I think they can be a little over the top sometimes, but that one really, I think she nailed it. So I would throw her up there as a lead as well.
What do you think about Anthony Carrigan as NoHo Hank?
Oh, this is another one where I just want to throw everybody on the list.
Yeah, NoHo Hank was interesting this year because he had a very Walter White turn where, like, he was doing these dastardly badass things and getting credit for it. And, like...
But with the murder of Cristobal, now it's like,
yeah,
all bets are... Now he is that guy.
He's not, though. He's still
true.
Not.
Yeah, he's still not, but...
Which, like, he never turned into, like, the Walter White where he, like, bought his own press, I think. But he's good. But that's the thing. It's like, this year was a bummer, man. Like, it wasn't fun. It wasn't funny. It was the least funny season of Barry, which, yeah, maybe that's fair for the final one. But, like, that's not what I was looking for to show. I really liked the mix of both. And because, like, if you want to throw in, what did you say? That's Sarah Goldberg, uh-huh. I guess. I can throw it on there. All right. She's supporting.
No, I think, isn't she a lead? She's a lead.
Is she? Okay.
Yeah.
Sally.
I almost think Steven Root is a supporting character, yeah? It's like Bill Hader and Sarah Goldberg are the leads.
Barry. Okay. So I'll throw, and then you said Steven Root as Fuchs in Barry S4.
And then you put Henry Winkler on there. I swear everybody's going to get on this list.
I was looking at anybody else. Anybody else? Oh, do we want to throw Anthony Harris? Because I say no on NoHo.
I think I agree. He's so much fun to watch, but yeah.
I didn't like him I didn't have as much fun with him as a serious character. Well, I keep forgetting the Darcy Carden's in there too. I don't know if she was even in it. Yeah, she was because she ended up being the more successful version of Sally.
Yeah.
Because she wasn't bullshitting about her life, I guess. Okay. Done with Barry?
Mm-hmm.
Schmigadoon, no.
No?
Okay. Lucky Hank?
No.
Ted Lasso.
Ah, fuck.
Ted Lasso.
It's another Ted put Lasso. Them all on the list.
So, yeah, what do we say? Because I got to say that I think Jason Sudeikis did some really good work.
Yeah.
I think Hannah Waddingham did some really good work, and I love her.
This is the Nate season, yeah. I mean.
What's that? It's the what season?
This is the Nate season, yeah. I mean, he gets to really flex everything he did with his parents. I am thinking of this season, right? With the cafe, and he's dating this woman who
Yes.
He's trying to impress this woman really who works people, there.
Boy, did I like where they ended up with him? I don't think they... I think they fucked up Nate's arc, honestly.
I agree.
Like, it's a very Ted Lasso way to fuck up the arc, but they could have done a lot better at... Because I do think I argued on the podcast. I think there's definitely room for redemption for guys that get stuck in that Nate place. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't look like this. Although...
No,
I don't know. Like it's one of those things where it's another one of these things where the child of the boomer went to their boomer ass parents and said, "You broke me," and then the boomers cried and hugged them and gave him unconditional love, and then it's like, okay, yeah. if you can get that, go get it, you know? But you know what? I actually really liked Jamie Tart. I thought his actor did some really particularly good things against Brett Goldstein as Roy Kent, which is a tough one. It's tough mm-hmm. to outshine Roy Kent.
That scene where he goes back to his family, or it's scene, his that, mom, that yeah. episode where, yeah, he goes back mm-hmm. to his mom's house, I just thought is amazing. And like,
it's another piece of the, you really felt you got another piece to his character's puzzle.
Mm-hmm. And he nails it. Yeah, Jamie Tart's got to go on this list. I don't know his actual real name.
That would be Phil Dunster.
Phil Dunster. Not Dunster.
What? I don't think we double dip a Juno Temple, right?
She doesn't need it. I mean...
Are you serious about Nick Muhammad as the nominated for Nate, though?
Man, I, you know, the believableness of the plot aside, I think his work there is excellent.
That's hard for me to separate.
Yeah, I feel you. We don't have to put him on if you don't want to. There's
okay. What about Jason Sudeikis?
God,
you got to cry. You got to have a couple breakdowns.
Yeah.
Where do we leave with Ted Lasso?
That's a damn fine question.
Let's see. Richmond
so long
can...
farewell.
So Ted has reformed Rebecca. He and Coach Beard are going home. Bex divorces Rupert. Rebecca considers selling the club. Nate becomes assistant Kit under Will. He later tearfully apologizes to Ted. Trent gives Ted and Beard a draft of his book. Roy and Jamie fight over who gets to be with Keeley, but she turns them both away. During the game, West Ham takes a 2-goal lead at halftime. The players reveal they all have pieces of the believe sign they put together before it turned into the pitch. Richard equalizes the score. Rupert assaults the new West Ham manager and gets jeered. Sam scores a winning goal. Richmond finishes second in the league. After Rebecca farewells Ted at the airport, she runs the man from the houseboat in Amsterdam. Beard stays in England and marries Jane. Roy becomes Richmond's manager and starts sessions with Dr. Sharon. Oh man, I hope they do continue the show. This feels like unfinished. That's what I remember. Jason Sudeikis has got, I guess, because life beat him up. He's tired of it, but like, goddamn. Ted asks Trent to change the book title from The Lasso Way to The Richmond Way. Beard, Roy, and Nate put the belief sign back up. Ted returns home and coaches his son's soccer team.
I don't know. It's tough for me to give it to Sudeikis. I mean, he's Ted Lasso, but...
I also love where didn't he take mushrooms or something and he reinvented...
right. The play.
Total football or something.
Yeah, yeah.
But that was a good episode. There's some really weird episodes that I quite enjoyed, though.
It's the one where he went to the, British-American, cowboy restaurant, right?
Yeah.
The BW3s of Britain, which that was really funny.
Season three. So okay, let's run it down real quick. I'm going to go for Jason Sudeikis. Do you think that Hannah Waddingham deserves one? And the big thing,
with her Rupert stuff this season. Oh yeah,
That was a great arc. That was a great arc.
Man,
she,
her
like,
going
finally
into that
came...
room full of. Dudes,
yes.
And just like coming out on top, smelling like a rose there,
and realize she doesn't even need to beat them because she's already won. Look at them. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah.
She does great work.
You don't have to twist my arm. The gush.
We don't have a category for most beautiful performer. I'm sorry.
Statuesque performer.
Yeah.
Okay. So no on Jeremy Swift as Leslie Higgins. Phil Dunster's Jamie Tart.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he needs to go on there.
We're putting him up there. What about Brett Goldstein as Roy Kent?
Oh, Roy.
He did some fine
Roy
work,
had
but
a
Roy Kent is...
second season.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not that this was bad for him, but yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's more the support for Jamie Tart, I would think.
Yep.
Ted Lasso.
Yeah, he's the guy who already got his shit together, and now he's trying to get other people's shit together.
And that'd be supporting, correct? We're in the supporting cast?
For Jamie Tart, yeah.
Yeah. What else? So no on Roy. Coach Beard? I don't think so.
Nah.
He's really good. No,
I mean,
Nick Bahamut is Nate. I say no.
Okay. Yeah, I'm fine
with that. But I thought, I thought he was better last year, oddly.
Mm.
And then, we're getting into the, I think that's about it. Sam really disappeared this season.
Oh,
I know
right.
He didn't. He had that one restaurant plot, but compared to last season when he was dating. Okay, we're good with that then, right?
Yep.
Poker Face.
Is this a comedy?
Yes.
Okay.
I think so.
Then
I mean,
I'm going to take that part of it off.
Yeah, I guess so. It's really a tweener. Okay, I'm going to throw Natasha Lyonne on her because I can't imagine anyone else doing it, and she's really good.
All right, yeah.
This is like tailor-made for her, and it's so much better than Russian Doll Season 2. Where the hell did...
Yeah, she made it on for that first season of Russian Doll, though, right? Pretty sure.
I think so. So Natasha Lyonne for... Poker Face. I forget what her character's name is. I can't wait for that to come back to Charlie, right? Charlie. That's a fun show. People missed out. People should go back and watch that. It's a really effortless show to watch, and it goes places. I can't wait till season 2 comes back.
Hmm.
Adrian Brody is good.
Oh, he's got a double dip.
Strong year for Adrian Brody, but he's already on there. So I'm looking at Ron Perlman's good, but he's very small role. Oh, I forgot that John Ratzenberger's in this fucking show.
He's still alive? Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it's kind of unrecognizable. He's so old and heavy.
Huh.
And he does not play his mailman character.
I would expect not.
Chloe Sevigny is really, she comes close for supporting, but the other problem is this is not an anthology, but it's a procedural show where like every episode, Charlie goes to some new small town, gets embroiled in a mystery that she solves through intuitive deduction process, and then she has to run from the criminal who's catching her onto the next. So like each episode is a self-contained story, and Chloe Sevigny's one was one of the better ones, but it's like a single fucking episode. What do you do? Okay, I think that's it for that. Tim Blake Nelson? What? Oh, right. Okay. when is this going to come back? I need to find that out. Okay, so we are on Hello Tomorrow.
Goodbye Tomorrow. No.
Yep. Lower Decks, you going to nominate some animated shit, Jim?
Nah.
Rah Rah Riverdale finale.
No.
Yeah, let's nominate Al and Joe.
For best performers, yeah.
Harley Quinn. I mean, it's animated. Righteous Gemstones.
All right. We can do this.
I want to nominate Walton Goggins because the grip
Billy.
Of there'll come a payday.
Uh-huh.
Had on my mind for like 6 to 8 weeks last year is insane. Oh my god. And him doing a Family Feud shit.
Yep. Him chasing the dollar this season is real good.
High comedy. He's that'd be support, right?
Yeah.
Walton Goggins as Uncle Baby Billy on Righteous. You know who also is really good in this show?
Who's that?
John Goodman.
Yes, he's fantastic.
Like, he's kind of what makes the shit work. Because if he wasn't there, is like, you know, you just feel sorry for, and even when you go back to him young and like his misadventures, like you just feel sorry for this man that he's got these kids, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Whatever part he had in making them these kids, you still feel bad for the guy.
Like John, so I'm going to put him for supporting too. He is Eli Gemstone from The Righteous Gemstones. Who else? Who else we got here?
I mean, oh, everybody is so good in the show. I kind of want to put up... crap.
Who's the sister?
BJ.
Oh, BJ.
Right? This season?
Who the hell is the sister?
The sister?
It's Trudy,
Edith,
right?
Patterson,
is it Trudy?
Judy.
Why isn't she listed in...
She should be.
Okay. Edie Patterson. So I finally got her this year. I think always stumped for her to be a character. Yeah, that whole... Oh, my God. But you're right. What's her husband's name? That
BJ.
Fucking thing where he fights that guy naked.
Naked. Yeah, that naked fight.
Tim Baltz. Yeah, I think we need to nominate him for something. Baltz as Benjamin Jason BJ Barnes.
Benjamin Jason. All right.
Yeah, that was some funny shit. Righteous Gemstones. What else? Who else we got?
I mean, are you saying you want Edie Patterson on the list this year? Because I'm down for that.
I found that she's frequently the funniest. Like, if she's not there, I don't think that Danny McBride and Adam Devine stuff works. Like, she frequently has the funniest parts of, or she spins up Jesse and Kelvin. I think she's.
All right, let's get her on the list. I don't know if she made it to previous ones, but.
What else? Is that good? Are we good on that? Or do we want to give.
The guy plays Keith.
He's really funny. Is this his best year?
I'm trying to remember what his storyline was. Is he on the outs with?
Yeah, he gets
Adam
sent away.
Devine's...
Goes back to the Satanists.
Yeah, I thought so.
They end up being an official couple by the end of the season,
right?
What about Gideon?
I don't think he's a big enough. He's a bigger part of this season for sure. As Eli's driver, and he's trying to follow.
Is there any
Eli's
argument
footsteps?
For Danny McBride getting a lead? Should we put Edie Patterson in the lead role?
I kind of feel like those three are leads. Yeah.
Yeah, I do too. And that the other thing kids. Is like, I think if we make a change, we might want to split comedy and drama actors. Because I feel like we're just pissing up a rope here. None of these people are going to see the top five. Because it's comedy, and that's not as important as drama, apparently. Okay, what else? Keith, maybe.
Okay, I'm going to say I don't think so, but is there any desire to see Steve Zahn?
That's who I was trying, yeah. Nah,
I think
nah.
He's very good, but it's a little weird.
Yeah. God, Shea Whigham is so fucking funny as that crazy NASCAR driver too. I'm buried under all this makeup, old coot makeup he's wearing. Right.
You know, the thing I'll say about Danny McBride is I used to really dislike him. and this show has turned me around on him. I think what he's doing is actually very good.
He's a very strong flavor in the right stew.
Yeah.
He's perfect. But you're right. Like, I remember I was really looking forward to watching Eastbound and Down, and I see why people think it's funny, but oh my. And it's like, when it's funny, it's like, I can't breathe laughing. But those moments, you got to go a long way for. And it's a lot of just Danny Bride being a dumb asshole most of the time.
What's that? What's that hockey show that they were watching at BIPAX 1 year? Because that's a lot for me. Like
Letterkenny?
Danny McBride was. Yeah, Letterkenny. Letterkenny yeah. is like the new Danny McBride for me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I
yeah.
do not
I know
think it's funny.
About.
I really strongly dislike all the characters.
My fucking sister loves Letterkenny and the whatever the spinoff of that is too. And I've really tried to make sincere efforts to watch it because a lot of our friends are into it.
Yeah, they are.
One of the board gaming couple we used to play is super into it too. It's like I can't. I don't know why.
I hate the characters.
And it's the cadence of it, like,
yeah. And but I felt that way about Danny McBride. Now I've turned around on him.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's. I also think you could hate him in the. Yeah, he needs a. Yeah. Wait the fucking minute! Macaulay Culkin was in season two.
Of what?
Oh right, he was Baby Billy Freeman's estranged son from a previous marriage. Right.
Oh yeah.
I forgot about that.
So did I.
Like, what the hell was Macaulay Culkin doing in this show? Okay. All right, we're done with that. What else we got? Good Omens.
I didn't like this season much, man.
I didn't like season of Good Omens, and also Always Sunny, season 29.
I felt bad for John Hamm in this season of Good Omens because he was given one thing to do the entire season, and it got old in the first episode.
Yeah, and I never even finished that season. I hated it so much.
Yeah.
I only watched the first however many episodes I had to for OTC, and then fuck that.
Always Sunny season 29. I'm sure it's 29. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Is there anybody in there that needs mention?
I mean, just when I think the show's going to run out of gas, it stubbornly refuses not to. What was this season?
This wasn't the one with Charlie's dad, was it?
No, this isn't the one where they went to Ireland. That was last season, right?
Was it?
I remember there being, I remember that started strong, had a weird middle, and then kind of finished strong, too. Let's see here. So we had the gang inflates. That's about inflation.
It's actually season 16.
Frank shoots every member of the gang was really funny. The gang gets cursed was really funny. Frank versus Russia. Was this the one where he... Oh, my. Is that the one where he wore the vibrating anal beads?
Yes, to communicate the moves to him.
That was really funny.
Danny DeVito deserves it, right? Danny DeVito.
Yeah, for this episode alone. Because I will say that, like, the celebrity the Aaron Paul.
Yeah, a little disappointing.
That shit. Look, guys, you are no... Okay, Walter White and...
Jesse Pinkman
are retired.
Yes.
And unless Vince Gilligan and Peter Gould write words for your mouths, you are no longer allowed to play those characters. And even then, you guys should all think... That shit's done.
This was the mental health day season. Right. Right.
Oh my God.
That episode is so amazing.
Does Glenn Howerton get one?
He has to. Because
that's a tour de force.
Yes.
That's Charlie Day with his dad from the last season. Only funnier. Way funnier.
Yeah. Yeah. Glenn Howerton. Needs to be on
this
list, man.
This is a two-episode stretch that I hated. The celebrity booze and the Risky Rat. Risky Rat,
yeah.
Like, I had such a big smile on my face when I figured out what they were doing, but then what they actually did with it was dumb. Like,
so disappointing.
Yeah, like, I don't think any of you guys really liked Chuck E. Cheese or understood the, you know, the cool thing about it, but... Mm-hmm. And the bowling episode is really funny, but Dennis takes a mental health day. I guess we gotta...
Yeah, Howerton and DeVito...
Frank is supporting Glenn Howerton main.
He's lead.
Okay. Glenn Howerton. Oh my God. That's such a finely crafted episode. Holy shit.
It really is. I wish we gave writing. We really ought to do writing at least.
Yeah. Yeah. Writing and comedy. Yeah, because you could actually cite specific episodes.
Yeah.
Yeah, you might be right on that one. God damn, that's a good episode.
Let me throw that at the top of this suggestions thing, the top of the document.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Wait, we have Baldi's 2024. Is that?
Oh, we should. I think that's the first thing I do is I clone the thing we got and create. But maybe I didn't.
I don't see it this time. I'll do that.
Create one. Or maybe I did. I didn't share it with you. Let me check.
Check for that.
Baldi's 2024. Because sometimes I forget. Sometimes it gets late in the afternoon and I forget what I'm doing here. Bald move, everybody. Nope, I don't have one.
Okay, well, I put it at the top of this one, so we'll copy it.
The Tesla.
Into next year.
God, that's so good. Is that what he does? He rents a Tesla? And he has that like unhinged breakdown,
the app, and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah.
Or is it not? I mean, is it actually a Tesla? Or is it like a fake Tesla?
I think it was a fake Tesla. I don't.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was actually a Tesla, but yeah.
Yeah, and the way he walks out that clinic, and literally everything and everyone is something he did and pulled into the daydream.
Yeah. He walks out triumphant in his own in his own insanity. It's beautiful. Yeah. Beautiful.
I'm going to lower my blood pressure. I'm just going to think myself out of it as the
by hating every single one of you.
He fucking does it by just channeling his hatred. Yeah. The doctor's astounded to see Dennis's blood pressure has lowered 20 points in less than a minute.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah. Good stuff. Okay, I think we made it through the fucking list. It took us 2 hours, but we're Hell ready yeah. to do some deliberations, baby.
Yeah. Next time on
the Baldi's. Bald move, Baldi's.